So here's the thing. It's against what most of us have been taught, which is why it's a difficult thing for a lot of us to do. We live in a society of don't be sad, yeah. don't be angry, mm-hmm. and don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. All of us have been told this.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential.
Jonathan Troen is a self-love coach, the creator of Self Love Revolution and Austin Yoga Tree, a mindfulness center based in Austin, Texas. For 20 years, Jonathan had a career in the entertainment industry, working with celebrities like Green Day, Pink, and Cher. Despite his success, he felt unhappy. He committed to discovering the secret to true happiness and sharing his insights through the Self Love Revolution, a masterclass to better health and more wealth.
Jonathan Troen. Okay, so I am happy to have you, life mastery coach and self-love mentor and the co-founder of your of the yoga studio, Austin Yoga Tree.
Yes.
Great. And you help people find joy inside themselves. So Jonathan, because I know you have an interesting story as to how you kind of came upon this role as a life mastery coach. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey here?
Yeah. And I got to be honest. So you just stop me when we need to stop. But it takes so many really twists and turns. But I spent 20 years in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. And I created, according to how I was taught, create the life of your dreams. You want to live a certain way, you create that. So I loved concerts. I loved music. And I wanted to interview bands. So I created a company to broadcast live concerts mm-hmm. and interview bands. It was called LA Live. And it was amazing. We wired up all of Los Angeles, all the little clubs, the big venues. And it was great. And I'm not going to deny that I had a good time. I did. I had great times. That company got swallowed up by a larger company. So then I worked for a larger company. That was great. And I evolved into television. And then I was producing TV shows. Still working with a lot of celebrities. I did a lot with E! Entertainment. So I was still working a lot with celebrities. And I was supposedly living this life of my dreams, this life I had created for myself somewhat intentionally, but somehow got away from me. And I was miserable and I couldn't figure out why, because I did everything I was told to do. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. I had a great place. I lived 3 blocks from the beach. I could see the sunset out my window. That was the goal, to get near the beach, all this stuff. So I'm going, okay, I'm successful, in quotes. What does that even mean? And how come I'm not happy about it? And I had to go and figure out what was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. So was this your road to entertainment? Is that something you wanted to do as a kid?
Yeah. Well, so here's what's really interesting. So yeah, I remember the day I wanted to, at that time, be in radio. It was junior high. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember the feelings clearly. And I was more on the picked end side of the scale going to school, right? Yeah. So bad day at school, I go home, turn on the radio, and the DJ says something and plays a song, and all of a sudden I have a smile on my face. Mm. And in that moment I said, that's what I want to do with my life, mm-hmm. put a smile on people's faces. And that was my first career, was radio. And what's really interesting, now we're going to skip a big part of the story and we're happy to go back to it. So what I said then was, I want to put a smile on people's faces. What I do now is I help people bring the joy, or find the joy, or see the joy inside of themselves. Mm-hmm. Very similar. It's a little different that One was external, because all I understood back then was external things made you happy.
Yeah.
Now I understand that internal things make you happy. But the goal is actually the same goal. So what happened through my journey through the music industry and then ultimately television, I forgot what my values were.
Mm.
I forgot that my goal was to help put a smile on people's faces. I didn't know about the joy inside of you yet, but I forgot my goal was to put a smile on people's faces. Mm. And my goal became getting a better title, you know, so producer, supervising producer, you know, working your way up title wise and making more money.
Mm.
So I could impress people,
yeah.
Right? Because the better title, the more money you have, the more people you can impress, and the more impressed people are, the more they like you. That was the story I had in my head.
Right.
So I totally ignored, I'm supposed to put a smile on people's faces. And I think some of the shows I do were great shows and really nice. And some of them I'm like, these are just not right and not helping people. And I even felt that as I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And eventually I just had to leave. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't know why. Like, I can't do this anymore. And that's when I learned about values. I didn't know I had values.
Mm.
I obviously did, even though I didn't know what the word meant. Obviously, I know what values meant, but not in this perspective of it, this understanding of it, of living a life, what I call in the self-love revolution, living a life honoring your values. So I didn't know what values I was supposed to be honoring, huh, other than the value of making my boss happy.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss's values, or network executives' values, or I did some work in the startup, tech startup side as well during that time. But you know, so their values became my values, even if they had nothing to do with my values.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us live this way, and it eats us up.
Yeah, yeah. I always, I love talking about values because I think I had forgotten my values. Maybe 5 years ago or so, I actually wrote them down. And then I put them somewhere and never looked at them and totally forgot about them. Until I was talking to another coach back in October, and she brought up the concept of values and she told me hers. And I was like, well, I know I have some, but I can't remember what they are. So after that conversation, I went back and I revisited them. I think I actually couldn't find it. So I had to like do some research and like really reassess what my values were. And I wrote them down. And I'm so happy that I did that, because once I was clear on my values, those act like guideposts and direct me into my life, or direct me through my life. Because what she was telling me was, and this is true, that once you know your values, decisions just become so much more clear, because you ask yourself, does this align with my values?
It's so easy,
yeah,
to make decisions. Hey, folks listening, watching, if you don't know your values, you just type into Google, you know, yeah, value worksheet. A list of them will come up. Pick five of them. No more than five if you just started out with this. Put them on your mirror so you see them every day. And then you just have to ask, how will I honor my values today?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and if someone comes to you, hey, do you want to do this? And you're like, oh, not sure. Do it. And all the stuff that swirls around. That's right, Ebony. All you have to ask, does this honor one of my values? If it does, great. If it doesn't, no.
Right.
Okay. And to be clear, no is a complete sentence.
Right.
Give anybody an explanation? No, complete sentence. That was fascinating when I learned that one. That mm-hmm. no is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the once you learned, so you entered this entertainment industry, you knew from a child that you wanted to make people smile, but that kind of got lost in all of what comes with the entertainment industry, and you became discontented because you weren't actually, you had forgotten your intention, really.
I didn't know it at the time. So I only know this looking back. I stopped honoring my values, period.
Okay.
What I do now is what I set out to do when I was in junior high, put a smile on people's faces. Yes, a little differently, because I understand that it comes from within, not without.
Right.
But I'm back to the original values.
Right.
And to be honest, if I had known about values now, perhaps I could have stayed in TV. I mean, that would have been fine. you know, I still have a lot of friends who are in that business, but it doesn't matter what I do. I can be in television, I can be radio, I can be you know, I'm here at my yoga studio right now. So I could be teaching yoga, I could be teaching the self-love revolution, I could be anywhere, I could be in a retail place. As long as I remember, okay, what are my values? How can I honor my values right now in this moment?
Right.
And with the person in front of me.
Jonathan, you know, was that difficult? Because you said you had like a nice place on the beach or near the beach, or you could see the sunset. It seemed like you had all of the things that people want. So when you decided that I need to go down a different path, did you have to sacrifice some of that?
That's a really good question. Did I have to sacrifice some of that? Well, let's be clear about the law of sacrifice, right? There's a whole law of attraction, which doesn't work for a lot of people because there are a whole series of laws, one of which is the law of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And sacrifice means giving up something of a lower vibration to receive something of a higher vibration.
Mm.
So I just want to be clear what sacrifice means.
Mm-hmm. I think we should repeat that. Giving up something of a lower vibration so that you can get something of a higher vibration.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you can't stay here and be here. If you want to get here, you got to give this up.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of times we're trying to hold on to this as we get that. That usually doesn't work. Sometimes it can, like
right.
if you fight through it. But right. usually you got to let go, sacrifice that.
Yeah.
So that you can be here. And sometimes, you know, I'm showing it the up and down. Sometimes I talk about it like you're standing on the dock and the boat is here and you have one foot in the boat and one on the dock. And eventually you got to take your foot off the dock if you're going to get into that boat so you can sail off. Well, I can certainly say that what I've received, the higher vibration, has been much more powerful than anything I had to sacrifice. I had to sacrifice parts of me that felt secure, though it was a false security, right? I felt safe. Safe is the known world, but safe doesn't make you happy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some friendships changed. Mm-hmm. Along the way, just because that's what happens. The really strong ones are all still there, right? My closest friends get me with who I am today, or at least accept me with who I am today, whether they get me or not. But certainly some just didn't feed me the same way anymore. And they, you know, life just takes its course. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Mm.
You know, I sacrificed my life in the entertainment business, but that wasn't a sacrifice because I was miserable doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I live in Austin, Texas now, not near the beach. So was that a sacrifice? Look, I still love the beach. So, and we moved here for family. So, you know, family lives here. But now, see, then I needed the beach. Mm-hmm. I needed the beach to make me feel somehow whole and good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I love the ocean, and I was just there last weekend. And so, yay for the ocean, right? And I'll go there anytime I can. But I don't need it anymore. I went to the ocean for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chemically, you can read the science on it. The ocean is healing. But I heal from within. I don't need the ocean daily now like I did then, because it's all, my joy comes from in here, not the ocean. Mm-hmm. My joy comes from in here, not my job. My joy comes from in here and allows me to connect better with people around me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked that question I did answer the question. And I asked that because I think a lot of times we know that we are not happy or that something needs to shift, but we're scared to make the change because we're so attached to a particular lifestyle, or we're so attached to a particular relationship, or we're just attached to the way we are. And a lot of times to shift to a different energetic level, you have to give up some of the stuff that's been holding you in the lower energetic level. And that can be very difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, now that I think of it, so back then, you know, I told you I started out in radio, then I was in the music biz. I had a huge record collection. I had a huge vinyl record collection because, you know, that's when I started. I had a huge CD collection and I gave almost all of it up. You know, I kept, you know, it was a little bit of vinyl that was really precious or signed by, you know, someone that had meaning to me. The ones that didn't have meaning, I just got rid of them. But, you know, I was a big Ramones fan. So, you know, my signed Ramones record, I saved, you know, a few CDs that, you know, I'm like, I should keep this one. But everything else I let go. And it made more space in my environment, mm-hmm. which made more space in my heart and in my brain.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, every once in a while, I do. I miss it. It'd be cool to look at that and hold it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that was of a lower vibration than what I have right now, which is more space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of books I got rid of too. I got rid of half mm-hmm. of my books, and a lot of them I really liked. And it was like, I had to go to my Valium. Like, do I really need this? Will I ever look at it again? Is it taking up space, or do I need to let it go so I can receive my higher vibration? Mm-hmm. And then I do the Marie Kondo, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you for mm-hmm. being with me. I appreciate all your help. Go help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful to do that.
Yeah, it is. And I actually did that this weekend, just going through my closet, because I was talking to a minimalist last week. And I said, you know, I have this thing with clothes, and I get one of these subscription boxes every month where I'm getting new clothes every month. And so my closet just keeps getting more full and full. And I said, this is ridiculous. So I went through, you would not believe how many pairs of jeans I had. Jeans from like 20 years ago, right? And a lot of them were just, they didn't even fit anymore. And so I got rid of, oh my gosh, I must have gotten rid of almost 20 pairs of pants and still have.
Cool when you're done?
Huh?
Doesn't it feel good when you're done?
It did. Yes, it did. And I just, now I walk into my closet and it just feels, well, literally is more spacious because I have more space. I got rid of stuff. But just, you could just feel the energy in the room just feels lighter. Like I could just breathe easier in my closet. It's a spiritual thing.
And the things hold a lot of weight. And I'll be honest, a lot of the, even though, like you say about the breath and the energy, so a lot of the records, like there was a lot of weight in them because some of them, you know, I was a big punk rock fan in those days. And why I was a punk rock fan, because I was pissed off Raging Against the World. I don't know what I was pissed mm-hmm. off at, by the way, but that's what I was doing. So yeah. All that, if you would tell that 20-year-old guy, that 20-year-old me, that you're going to own a yoga studio and you're going to have this program, Self-Love Revolution, and you're going to tell people to be kind to themselves and to love themselves, he would have spit in your face. So all that difficult, I hate to say negative energy because I don't believe in positives and negatives anymore. But all that energy was all in there. Mm-hmm. So that goes away. Mm-hmm. I can breathe. And breath, folks, is life, right? You want to know what life is?
Yeah.
It's breath. Without breath, there's no life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. So that, I love that. That's beautiful. So when you then, because it seems like you notice that all of these external things, it might have given you temporary happiness, but it wasn't the true joy. How did you start to then, once you started to rid yourself of the external stuff, how were you able to find the joy within? Did that come naturally as an extension of getting rid of the stuff, or is there more work you needed to do?
Oh my God, there was a ton of work that I needed to do. And here's what's interesting. So I got a lot of the work, right? So I learned about the saboteurs, inner critic, the voices in your head. And I learned about the future self that can guide you to where you're going. And I learned how to take action and set goals and achieve your goals. So, you know, so now I'm teaching yoga. That's what I started doing after I left the entertainment business. I'm teaching yoga. I'm coaching people. I got clients and I'm helping them. And I think I got a lot of this figured out. And then I come across this woman named Louise Hay. I haven't heard of her. Look her up. And I know, you know, I was new to her, but obviously she was around forever. But to me, she was new, right? And she says, go to the mirror and say, I love you. So I walk up to the mirror, go to the bathroom, walk up to the mirror, and I go, Jonathan, I love you. The words could not come out of my mouth. And yeah. And I fell on the floor. I curled up into a ball. And I'm like, what just happened to me? Like, I thought I had figured this out. I'd done so much work over so many years. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And I'm like, I got to figure out what's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So then I really started. I didn't try it again for another month. Let's start there. I went to some of my old tools, Future Self, tried to figure out, okay, Future Self, you're happy. What did you do to get there? Yeah. So I started studying a little bit more, and I tried to figure out what was going on with me and what was wrong with me. And here's what I found out. Biggest discovery ever. There was nothing wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when life changed.
Yeah.
I really began to accept myself just as I was. I didn't have to try to be, you know, whether it was in the TV world, like that producer or that actor or that person, or even in the yoga world, you know, we compare ourselves to that teacher, and when will I be like that? And, you know, especially when we're starting out, well, when will I have, you know, 50 people in my classes, things like that. So there's still a lot of comparison in all our worlds. And when I just said, you get to stop comparing, you're okay just the way you are. Mm-hmm. I love you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. That's when I was able to begin to practice on a regular basis. And a big second piece of that is when I learned, and it was after I learned about self-love, it was like the last thing I learned. Forgiveness.
Mm.
When I started a forgiveness practice, which is now a daily forgiveness practice, that combined with there's nothing wrong with me brings so much peacefulness. It doesn't mean, everyone listening, it doesn't mean you don't have bad days.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't let the bad days get me down. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. difficult day today. Bad day today. Okay, Jonathan, I got your back, just like I would to a dear friend, right? Mm-hmm. Friend would come to me, says, I'm having a difficult time. And I'd say, how can I be there for you? What do you need from me right now? Well, that's what I do for me. Jonathan, you're having a bad day? What do you need from me right now? I got your back. You want to sit down? Sure. You need a hug? Sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just began to change that relationship with myself. Instead of trying to change myself to become something else, I work to accept what is here right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the forgiveness, was that forgiveness of yourself or forgiveness of others or all of it?
All of it. It's in the end, it's got to be all of it. It has to be you, though. We forget that. It's like I call forgiveness the most important skill that we've never been taught. You know, they teach you, if you do something, say sorry. Sorry. Right? So that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a feeling. Forgiveness is an emotion. And it's very hard to forgive ourselves for some of the things we've done or some of the things we haven't done that we wish we would have done. When you forgive yourself, it's easier to forgive the other people. If you haven't forgiven yourself, it makes it, in my experience, makes it harder to forgive the other people. So I couldn't forgive the others. That's an exaggeration. I had difficulty forgiving others for some things until I began this journey with me. And it's like, oh yeah, you didn't do that. And you could have done that 20 years ago, but you can't change it now. So I forgive you. You did the best you could with the information you had at that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or vice versa for things I did. That was a bad thing that you did then. It's okay, Jonathan. You did the best you could do with the information you had at that given time. Right. And I see you for who you are. And I forgive you for doing that. So with that understanding of me, when I have that compassion towards me, now I can have that compassion towards you. So if you piss me off, Ebony, I can't imagine, but if you do something that hurts me, I can go, okay, I can see that in me. I can see where either in a different time or a different place, I would have done the same thing. So you know what? I'm going to forgive you for that. And it just makes that whole process easier.
I think that this is, I'm very happy that you're sharing this, because I think that a lot of us, it's difficult to accept ourselves like as we are. And I, like for myself, even today, I will still say to myself, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Like, why did you do that? What's wrong? Right. And I'm like, wait, there's nothing wrong with me. Right. It's just in the moment I felt this way. And I'm learning to just not even resist the moment. So if I'm feeling angry in the moment, instead of judging myself for feeling angry, just feel it, feel the anger, let it just run through my body, right? It only takes maybe 90 seconds to really feel it in my, like physically, where is it located in my body, and just kind of let it flush out. And then I'm in a state of mind where I can respond more wisely than if I'm trying to, like, if I'm judging myself for feeling angry and then I'm trying to resist the anger, it just all kind of comes out in this like crazy, ugly type of way. But if I just really sit with it and just let it flow through me and take a deep breath afterward, I can act my highest self. My highest self can then act versus just letting the emotion overtake me.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. It's against what most of us have been taught, which is why it's a difficult thing for a lot of us to do. We live in a society of don't be sad, yeah, don't be angry, and don't be afraid. All of us have been told this. You know, and other, don't be resentful, all of them. Don't have anxiety. Get rid of the anxiety. Okay. So I always say, can you point to any person on the planet that's never been sad, never been angry, never been afraid? Well, no. So when we say these things, basically we're saying, don't be human. Well, of course, then anxiety really comes up even more, because it's like, I'm human and you don't want me to be human, and I have sadness in me and you don't want me to cry, and I'm afraid of something because it's new and different and you're telling me I can't be afraid. We are royal messes and we think there's something wrong with us because that's what we've been taught. So we need to begin to reteach ourselves. Hopefully next generation, we can teach the next generation the right way. Like, I never say to my son, don't be sad. And I actually heard someone say it to him once. And I said, you cannot say that to him. You can say, why are you sad? You know, but he cries and I say, it's okay to be sad. And I try and figure out why. And I might, hey, I might think it's a stupid reason too. But you know what? You can't say there's no reason to be sad or there's no reason to be angry. If someone is sad, there is a reason for it. You might not agree with the reason. It might even be, we might all be able to agree, it's a horrible reason, but there is a reason that person is sad or that person is angry, or that person is afraid. And first, like you say, we just need to honor it. Congratulations on honoring. He said he was angry the other day. I said, that is so great that you can name that. How powerful. And then I said, well, what does anger feel like? Now he's sick, so he couldn't really quite go there, but seed planting, right? You know, like you said, let's feel the sensation inside of us. It takes 90 seconds. Now, deeper seated ones, if it triggers some deeper trauma, yeah, it'll sit there a little longer than 90 seconds. Totally cool. But the new ones can just go. Boom, it's done.
Right, yeah. And I don't want to give the impression that after 90 seconds, it just never comes back. It might come back. Sometimes, you know, it does come in waves, especially if it is traumatic. But when I'm able to sit with it and feel it in my body, I start to heal it, because I start to pay. It depends on where it's located, right? Like if it's in my, like the heart center, in that, then I know that there is something, there's some pain, some heartbreak perhaps that I haven't yet healed, right? Yeah. Something I have to usually think back, or sometimes it comes to me like automatically, like some memory where I felt this way before. So I ask myself, when have I felt this way before? In this, you know, when I'm angry and I feel it in my heart, or I feel it in my stomach, or a lot of times I feel it in my legs, Jonathan. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I know that, and feeling the anger in my legs, I know that I don't feel grounded. I don't feel safe. I don't feel, so I think back, when have I felt this way? And it's usually going back to childhood, where I didn't feel safe. And I knew my parents were splitting, and I didn't feel safe. So I just, it's such a, how can I say it? So for me, being able to locate energetically in my body what I'm feeling was a game changer. And yeah. I really encourage other people to, I study energy healing. That's why I was able to do this. But energy healing is very powerful. And if you can learn to just listen to your body, because your body will not lie to you.
And your answers are all in the body.
Yes.
We think they're in the head. If I think this enough, I'll figure out what the problem was, and I'll then find a solution. No. Mm-hmm. We were taught that the brain controls the body. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it goes both ways, right? The body also sends signals to the brain. And here's what they figured out. Mm-hmm. If you picture the nerves as traffic, as roadways, 20% of the traffic goes from the brain out to your body. 80% of the traffic goes from your body to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is controlling you, not your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like talking about, the emotions. So they have done research on this, and I wish I could point you to the actual research. I read about it in a book by Pema Chodron. And it does talk about an emotion, not the deep-seated trauma, but if someone says something to you and you get angry, the emotion lasts 90 seconds and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. But the thought continues, mm-hmm. and the thought triggers the emotion over and over and over. So if you get out of your head and into your body, the thought won't need to repeat that emotional trigger. Mm-hmm. Yes, for the deep-seated stuff, you got to spend more time with it, mm-hmm. but not the thought. This happened to me when I was 4 years old. You might need to get to the thought to re-experience the feeling, but once you have the feeling, the magic is separating the thought from the feeling, or separating what happened, right? The action that took place, separating that from the feeling in your body, mm-hmm. and observing the feeling in your body is what does the healing.
Mm-hmm.
In the Buddhist perspective, they call these knots, right? The traumas were knots, and they talk about it as untying knots, right? You ever hear knots in your stomach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were talking about. So it literally then unties those, I don't know, literally, sort of, it literally unties the invisible knots that you have in your body by observing it and offering it compassion, not making it wrong,
mm-hmm.
but offering it compassion. It's okay. I get that you are there. You are safe here. I'm going to stop fighting you. As soon as you stop fighting with your body stops fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Then your mind can focus on good things to create in your life.
Yes, yes. And that's so interesting about the knots, because in energy speak, we call those blockages, like the feeling there's a blockage there that just needs to be cleared. And it's amazing that once you begin to heal and clear the knot, or undo the knot, or unclear the blockage, physically, like it's a huge advantage to your body physically, because all these ailments that we suffer are because of energetic blockages that we're experiencing due to the emotions that are, that are results of the thoughts that we're thinking. And so once we begin to clear the energy, then our health improves physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it too. And when I learned about this, this was woo-woo stuff, right? That if your ancestor had a trauma and that formed a knot or a blockage, that it would be passed on to the offspring. Or if I have a trauma, I can pass that on to my offspring. That's woo-woo stuff, except it's not anymore, because now it's Western medicine. They proved it, that when someone is traumatized, the DNA changes.
Mm-hmm.
So now they haven't made that. I'm making this up in my head. That DNA changes, the blockage or is the knot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that DNA change is passed on to the offspring.
Yeah.
This is Western science, the scientific method, all of it. Mm-hmm. So the trauma or the knot or the blockage or the DNA change that you need to heal may have been from your childhood, mm-hmm. or may have been from your parents,
yeah,
or grandparents, or who knows how many generations back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they call that a family pathologies, right? Like where it's just there's some type of generational energy that is passed down. And you know what's so interesting? I was talking to a psychologist last year, and she noticed that when she was like in her 20s, she was very, even as a kid. So I think it's when in her 20s when she kind of became aware of it, but she was always very nervous and like frantic, agitated. And she had the thought to ask her mother what her pregnancy was like when she was pregnant with her. And it turns out that her mother was very worried and stressed during her pregnancy with my guest, the psychologist. And so she talked about how when we are marinating in our mother's wounds, we are also absorbing her energy, right? And that can have a huge bearing on how we then, you know, express ourselves, live in the world until we become aware of it.
Yeah. And for those that might have difficulty with the energy, and I love that, so I am so on board with you.
Yeah.
It's also the chemicals, right? The human body is a chemical manufacturing machine, right? Although I don't know why we don't really teach it in science class. It should be taught in the science curriculum. Yeah. But when you're happy, chemicals are released in the brain, right? And when you're sad, chemicals are released in the brain, and anxiety and all of it. And of course, like you said, so if you're in the womb, yes, the energy is transmitted. And so are those chemicals, mm-hmm. because the baby's taking everything in. So you have to understand what chemicals your body is creating. Like, that's why gratitude is so important. You know, gratitude's become so cliche, but now they've really done the research on it. Gratitude releases dopamine. Mm-hmm. Gratitude releases serotonin. These are the happiness hormones. This is why you're scrolling Facebook. So every time you go like that on Facebook, you get a dopamine hit. This is true. And Facebook spends millions of dollars making sure it will deliver you more dopamine. If you want to get off of Facebook or spend less time, I'm not putting it down. I'm on there too, probably too much also. But gratitude will give you some of those dopamine hits. You can create it yourself. So when we begin to really understand how the body works chemically as well as energetically, and one day so the chemical side, you know, 100 years ago, they couldn't prove it either, right? So the energy they can't prove now, it doesn't mean it's not true. It just means we don't have the equipment to see it, right? We didn't have x-rays until, you know, middle of last century. We didn't have MRIs until, what was it, the 1990s. We can see things now that we couldn't see before. I believe in 100 years, 200 years, whenever it is, they'll be able to trace the energy that you're talking about. And they'll even be able to see the soul that we can't see right now. We couldn't see the brain before, right? At least, you know, the way an MRI sees the brain. We couldn't see all these things because we hadn't created the technology yet.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have the technology to study the energy too, and to really see the soul, my guess is. Mm. But for now, you have the proof of the chemicals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just your emotions. Your emotions will tell you like everything. Your emotions tell you what energy, at what energetic level you really are, right? Like if you're feeling, jealous, or if you're feeling enraged or angry, then you know that something needs healing, right? And you need to begin to excavate whatever, you know, darkness there is that's keeping you at that level of, you know, the jealousy or the anger, so that you can then, once it's cleared, you can begin to lift up into a new energetic space. But I was having this like meditation the other day, and I was like, how can I like intentionally just begin to raise my energy? And the thought or the like message, I don't know, like I'm hearing voices, but this answer came like, you need to, in order to go up, you have to first go down. And it didn't make a lot of sense, but it's like, you have to go down within and really feel and begin to heal the darkness. And then you can begin to rise up into a new space.
Yeah. And see, that's where I think a lot of people get lost, especially at the beginning of the journey. And I did too. It's like, we're told, you know, just think good things, then everything will be okay. And you can heal it from within. Just, you know, think good thoughts and do good things. And in my experience, having practiced that way, and now doing what I'm doing now, is before you go to the healing, don't try and heal it right away. Mm-hmm. Recognize it.
Yeah.
Accept it first. Oh, there's jealousy. Well, that's interesting. Study it. Make your body a lab, a laboratory for study. Well, that's interesting. Jealousy. What does jealousy feel like? Not why am I jealous? That's the wrong question. Because then you'll come up with other reasons, and it's probably that other person's fault. And then you get into blame, one of the 13 saboteurs. And it brings up all kinds of stuff. But what does it feel like? Oh, okay. Well, I feel it here. Well, how much space does it take up? Is it tingly? Is it heavy? Is it, what is it? And be with it. When you do that, it begins to dissipate on its own. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the tricky part, because I just told you all this, it'll dissipate on its own. If you do it to try and make it go away, it won't go away.
Yeah.
It's going away as a side effect of being seen. It's just going, hey, Jonathan, I want you to see me. I want you to see my struggle, right? It's probably some child version of me. Do you see me? And I've been ignoring it for years, of course, right? So no, go away. I'm supposed to feel good. Happiness is a choice. I just need to say I'm happy, and then I'll be happy. No.
Right.
Yeah, happiness is a choice. I get that part of it. But before, okay, I see you, jealous part of me. I understand why you're jealous, and it's okay to be jealous, and I love you just the way you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That allows happiness just to arise then. I don't need to choose anything. I don't need to force anything. Boom.
Right. Yeah.
It's there because it's right next to the jealousy. It's just the jealousy got a little bigger, yes, and it's waiting to be seen. Mm-hmm. See it. And then it'll go, okay, thank you for seeing me. I can go away now. Thank you for loving me. And then the happiness will go, oh, there's space for me now. Mm-hmm. I'll come up. I'll show up. Hey, Jonathan, want some happiness?
Yeah.
We got to start working inside of the body, and we have to start accepting our emotions the way they are. There are no negative emotions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was taught negative emotions too. Sometimes I even use the words because it's so programmed in my subconscious. Right. But usually I get to correct myself. I notice it right away. There are no negative emotions. They may be pleasant. They may be unpleasant, mm-hmm, no good or bad. All the emotions were given to you by whatever created us. And they're all beautiful to be experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once we start to, you know, call them negative or positive, we're judging them. And really in the healing process, there's no room for judgment. Yes, I mean, that's what the point of healing is. It's just, it's not judgmental. It is fully accepting. It is showing compassion for the pain that you're experiencing, because that pain really it's there to help you grow spiritually. I feel like every time I come across someone, and this is why relationships of any kind are so powerful. If someone is displaying some type of behavior that I'm being judgmental of in the moment. So I think, oh my God, that's so rude. How can this person be so rude? I know, like, instinctively in my moment of judgment, that they are mirroring some rudeness within me, right? And that gives me an opportunity to just really go within and ask myself, Have I ever been rude? Am I rude at times? And where can I begin to heal that? And once I begin to heal that, that then just helps me to be more compassionate toward other people that I find are rude, right? It helps me be more compassionate toward myself. And as you were saying earlier, I don't get angry as often, right? Once I've begun to heal it.
Yeah.
But everyone is a mirror, and it's all for all those emotions, the good, the bad. There is no good or bad. It's just all there for growth. So it's all good, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we can replace the judgment with curiosity, mm-hmm. judgment and curiosity don't get along very well. So they can't really live together side by side. So when you notice yourself in judgment, that person, why are they acting like this? And just switch. Okay, now don't make judgment wrong. Oh, I see you, judgment. What if I bring in curiosity here? Mm-hmm. Ask a question. I wonder why that person is being like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder what happened in their day or their week or their life mm-hmm. that is making them behave this way. Because look, even in the yoga studio here, right? I'm sitting in the yoga studio. We have people come in that are pretty angry sometimes. And it's like, whoa, you feel the wall of energy. It's like, hey, this, we're in serenity, right? It says on the door, my peacefulness and serenity. Like, what just happened? But okay, maybe there's a mirror there. Okay, so when have I been the dick? And I certainly have in my life. Okay, let's forgive myself for that, right? Back to forgiveness before. I forgive myself. If I forgive myself, I can be more understanding. But I also go, okay, something happened to this person because nobody is just angry like this. Mm-hmm. Something happened. I don't know what it is. How can I create space for this person to be safe right now? Because this person feels unsafe.
Yeah.
So my job is just to create safety. That's it. Mm-hmm. Not judgment. Curiosity helps with that. I wonder why. I might not get the answer, and I don't need the answer, but it shifts us from that, what's wrong with them, to what's right with them. And how can I create a safe space for them to be all of who they are?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. And I think to get to that point where you're like, let me just create the space. Let me just be with it as it is and create the space so that this person can feel safe in whatever they're experiencing. You really have to do the work that you've done with yourself, because if you're not accepting yourself as you are and your emotions and showing compassion toward yourself, and you haven't been through the self-forgiveness, I don't even know if it's possible to provide that type of space for someone else to be.
Look, it's hard even when you do this work. I'm not saying I'm successful every time.
Yeah.
A lot more now than I used to be.
Yeah.
But it, because that part awakens the part inside of us. So they're feeling something, okay, that makes me defensive. And this is obviously in relationships, this is what happens all the time. Yeah. They say something, okay, that means I'm not good enough. Okay, well now the not good enough part of me is talking. So the defender, one of the 13 saboteurs, along with blame, they work together. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to blame the other person. So now I yell back. Well, now they feel they have to defend themselves and blame. And it's just a bunch of yelling between saboteurs, inner critics, not the real people. Yeah. And just two people who are hurt that only want in this moment to be seen, heard, and understood. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all the person wants, is to be seen, heard, and understood. So one of these people in this argument, interaction, whatever it is, needs to stop and say, and if the other person doesn't know, then yes, it needs to be you. Needs to stop and say, okay, these are the inner critics talking and are fighting back and forth. What can I say right now to allow this other person to be seen, heard, and understood? Now, to be clear, it could be nothing. The answer might be shut up and listen. And that's what will allow them to see and go, okay, I'm going to sit and hear you and give absolutely no response. I'm going to take it all in.
Mm.
Or maybe it's listening to it, you know, that there's, I forget what they call it, conscious something, but it's kind of hard how to resolve some of those difficulties. And one person says something and then the person hearing it repeats it back. Yeah. This is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then did I get everything
mm-hmm.
or did I say it correctly? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that I missed? Mm-hmm. So that gives someone the whole space to say what they are feeling. And when it's good, you do it both ways and maybe have someone helping you do that. But you can always be the person in charge and de-escalate the argument simply by noticing that you're in the middle of it, mm-hmm. not beating either of you up for it. It's just because you've been traumatized and the other person has been traumatized. Because guess what? Every person on the planet has trauma.
Right.
That was a wake-up call for me when I understood that. I did not know I had trauma, and I didn't mm-hmm. know that everyone else did either. I thought it was going to say, well, 5% of the people have been abused, that kind of stuff. So I thought, okay, well, 25% of the people. One of that number is wrong in my experience with the number of people I've worked with. But we all have something. And when we can just recognize, okay, this is my trauma talking to this person's trauma. What if I step back and just see the other person, hear the other person, and seek to understand the other person with curiosity, mm-hmm. the whole dynamic will change. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to carry the pain into your bedtime routine, into your sleep, into the next morning, into the next day, into the next week, into the next 10 years. Mm. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You're replaying that story that happened 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me I'm the only one. I know it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to replay that 10-year-old story anymore. We don't even have to replay the story from yesterday anymore.
Hmm. Wow, Jonathan, we can't believe we're out of time. We just keep going on and on. This has been wonderful. Well, first, tell us where we can find you.
SelfLoveRevolution.com. Join a community of people who are passionate about accepting themselves the way they are, living better lives, and you know it. This is a movement that helps your life, your business, and your bank account. All of it at the same time, those choices that you need to make. Well, I focus on this. Well, I have to focus on this and I'll do that later. No, these all grow at the same time. So selfloverevolution.com, there's a button there. It says join the revolution. Join us and we welcome you. And we love you just the way you are.
I think those are wonderful closing words. I think we're going to close right there. Thank you so much. This has been so amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. I'm going to stop recording, but I'm just going to chat with you for a moment.
Wasn't that a powerful conversation? I mean, let me just speak for myself. That for me, that was a powerful conversation that I had with Jonathan, because it reminded me of my magnificence. And this is what I hope it did for you also. It just reminded you of your true essence, which is all good. We are so used to the self-talk that has endless ways of letting us know that we're not so grand. But the truth is that we are grand. Unfortunately, through the years, starting from birth, sometimes even before birth, we experience so much criticism and self-talk. We internalize the pain of the people around us. We personalize the pain of the people around us. And by the time we're adults, we have totally forgotten the true essence, the magnificence, the grandness that is buried underneath all of the pain. And it's just a matter of doing some investigation, getting curious, and excavating, going through the work and excavating through all that pain to rediscover your true magnificence so that you can live a life of power. Because once you begin to experience the self-compassion for all the aspects of yourself, that's when the true magnificence begins to shine. You can have the self-compassion, when you can have the self-love, when you can have the understanding and the patience with yourself, that extends out to other people. And other people experience your magnificence. And now you're just a magnet for all things magnificent. So I hope that you visit Jonathan's website, The Self Love Revolution. This is the perfect time. I mean, it's the end of 2021. We'll be ringing in a new year in a few weeks. And why not ring in the new year on a high note? A note that says, I am here to step into my power for 2022, right? Imagine starting off the new, stepping into your full power. That, I'm getting inspired now. Like, I think I'm going to do some reflection these next couple of weeks so that I can really bring in the new year on a high note. So anyways, visit his website. In the meantime, you can also visit my website at zazo.com. You can sign up for my newsletter, which next year I am planning to be a lot more consistent with my newsletter. But thank you so much for those that have signed on. And then you can follow me on social media. I'm at on Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and then Facebook and Instagram at Motivation to Write. I will see you January 8th. January 8th. I'm really excited for what's coming up with the podcast. So stay safe. Happy holidays. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.